Our speaker today is Jesse Weems, and he draws his inspiration from 6 years of training in Zen Buddhism under the guidance of many wonderful teachers, including Tenshin Rev Anderson and Tony Packer, and 5 years of training in nonviolent communication with founder Dr. Marshall Rosenberg and trainers John Kinyon and Robert Gonzalez, among others. Jesse offers Zen VC, Zen Nonviolent Communication, through workshops, classes, and groups around the country. He is currently participating in LIFE, a 2-year program focused on integrating and embodying nonviolent communication consciousness, and is a student and resident at the San Francisco Zen Center. And I assume you're going to talk to us about nonviolent communication.
Yeah, that's good. Morning. It's my first time in this space. I really like the feel of it. I'm also really enjoying right now the working with a mostly male group, actually. It's very different for me. I'm used to be, a lot of the workshops I offer tend to be mostly female, so it's kind of nice, actually. Just something I noticed sitting down and with some sort of stirred up something different in me, energy-wise. So what I wanted to talk about is something that I've been really passionate about for a number of years now, which is this connection between Buddhist spiritual practice and nonviolent communication, or sometimes it's called compassionate communication. If anybody at any point has any trouble hearing me, please speak up and let me know. I really want to speak up. Okay. How, if I speak like this, how's that? Is that better? Okay. For me, the reason I'm really passionate about this subject is because whereas I might meditate about like 5% of my day, or 10% of my day, 60% or 50% is probably spent interacting with other people, whether they're family members or friends or people I run into on the street, coworkers. And I like to be able to bring the same kind of attention and intention that I bring to my meditation, I'd like to be able to bring that to my relationships with others. And it was something that I struggled with when I first began Zen practice. After the initial joy of finding meditation, I immediately ran into the question of, well, how do I do this with other people? After my first 3-month retreat that I did in 2000 at Green Gulch Farm Zen Center over in Marin, I found that I couldn't get enough of Zen practice. I was sort of head over heels in love with it. You know, I felt as soon as I got there, I knew I had come to a kind of home for myself. And I was born and raised in the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And I went home to visit my family for that Christmas holiday. And I remember struggling to try to communicate to them what it was that moved me so much about this spiritual practice I'd fallen into. And I felt everything I said was completely inadequate. I kept saying things like, you know, to my friends, I might be saying like, oh, Green Gulch is great. You should go there. Everybody should go there. I wanted to send everyone there, you know. Said, oh, this guy, you know, Reb Anderson, he's amazing, you know, and I just kept finding myself saying things that, as you might imagine, kind of turned people off, you know. A lot of friends sort of saying, okay, well, it sounds good, what you're interested in now, you know. and the thing was, it wasn't my intention to be evangelical about it. I just wanted to somehow be able to connect with other people about this and kind of articulate what it was that was so powerful for me about it, that spiritual practice. I'm just wondering right now whether, has anyone else had this experience? Just maybe, can I get a show of hands? Has anyone else had this experience of trying to share? Yeah. Okay. There was another thing I found with language, which became more and more challenging for me as time went on, with spiritual practices, as meditation showed me over and over again, how much of the how much trouble was happening in my life because of judgments and opinions and ideas I was holding. I found that it was harder and harder for me to find any way to express any power in my speech with other people. For example, if something upset me, even something that I felt was really life-serving to speak about, for example, if I were to take a gross example, maybe something like, you know, if I wasn't happy about the bombing of Iraq, for example. Whereas before I might have said something like, that's totally wrong. You know, that this needs to be changed. You know, that it's being done out of greed. It's being done out of hatred. You know, this is a problem. George Bush is an idiot, you know. Might say things like that. Well, with meditation practice, I found myself starting to say things like, yeah, I just, that I'm really hating that the war in Iraq, well, for me, that's my opinion. I guess there's other views, but, it was like I couldn't express anything anymore. Every time I tried to say something from my heart, it followed with a string of like caveats, like, you know, conditions. Oh, my opinion. There's other views. You know, I guess there's other people who would see it differently. And I found myself sinking into a more and more kind of helpless kind of space in my life in terms of being able to communicate about what actually meant something to me. Again, I'm just curious, does anyone else have that experience of having trouble finding an opinion or a voice? Yeah. So I find this kind of problematic as I was doing more interaction with people in daily life. As I was less in the monastery and more in everyday city life. And I found it problematic because I didn't see that as being an effective way to work towards any meaningful social change. I was finding a lot more happiness within myself, and I could try to encourage everyone to just do meditation. But in my daily life, I wanted to be able to really have a way to connect with people instantly and move towards a more compassionate and loving and connected society. The alienation in this country today really is challenging for me. So that's where nonviolent communication comes in for me, is that in it I found a language that cut through a lot of the the challenges of language as I've been conditioned to learn it, thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, you should, I should, you have to, I have to. These kinds of words that enforce a kind of domination in my thinking and others' thinking. I don't really speak to the interdependence that I think is really true, that I find true. And the one concept that nonviolent communication introduced to me, which I felt was so powerful, and which I hope everyone can leave here today and make use of, is the concept of needs. I'm wondering, how many people here are familiar with nonviolent communication, have some connection to it? Okay. So for those of you who aren't, I want to be really clear what I mean by needs. And to do that, I just ask this question. And I like to hear any responses that come up just as you feel moved to say it. I'm curious, if you reflect on, for example, someone you really care about, or someone who inspires you, or a coworker you admire, I'd like to just hear, can you say some of the qualities that you admire in that person? Anybody. Any words that come to your mind, qualities that you admire, that you really value.
Patience. Persistence.
Sorry?
Persistence.
Honesty.
Generosity.
Courage.
Fearless. Good listening capacity.
Loving. Yeah.
Trustworthy.
Compassion.
Creative.
Yeah. Anything else?
Available,
yeah. Open.
Caring.
Care, yeah.
Integrity.
Humor, yeah. So what I was asking for, these qualities, to my mind, what it brings out is it brings out what it is that all of us, everyone who's human, values. I'm just wondering, is there anyone here who doesn't value anything that was just spoken? Who doesn't value compassion, listening, integrity, humor, creativity, openness, patience? Is there any of those qualities that anyone here doesn't value? So here we have a group of, I don't know, near 50 people, and we're in agreement. These qualities, they all touch us. To me, that's a pretty powerful thing. I think I could walk into a group of just about anybody, and as long as we were clear about what those words meant, what they meant for each of us individually, I think my experience has shown, and I believe, that everyone's in agreement. These are all things we value as humans. So the question is, what is it that divides us then? You know, if we all value the same things, what is it that divides us? So what nonviolent communication has offered in understanding that for me is to start to distinguish between the difference between needs, or use whatever word works for you. Needs is what has been traditionally put forth, but however you would characterize those words we just started bringing out, things like courage and integrity and openness, whatever you might call those, maybe values, needs. What is it? What's the distinction between needs and the strategies we use to try to get those needs met? There's a distinction there. Yeah. I think as an exercise, I'd like to offer you something just to kind of get the juices flowing on us a little bit. Enough for everybody, but I'm not sure if I do. If we do run out, please share with your neighbor. So you'll see on one side of those there's a kind of wheel, and on the wheel there's various needs. This is a wheel that was put together by two trainers of nonviolent communication who are based in Albuquerque. I like the way they organize this. They put this together based on the work of a Chilean economist named Manfred Max Neef, who tried to characterize what he felt were the 10 basic needs that people have. And so you'll see those sort of as the large headings in the wheel, and underneath of which are various permutations of those needs. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like everyone to think of something that pains you. Think of a situation, say a long-standing interaction you have with somebody in your life, a family member, a coworker, a partner, friend, maybe not a friend. A situation which pains you that you've had happen recently, or is very alive in your mind. See if you can call to mind that. Could be something that someone does that annoys you. And as you get in touch with the situation, I'd like you to come up with just a one sentence line about your kind of what it, this thing that this person does that triggers you. So like, for example, if I were to think of my mom, something she's doing right now, I might just sum it up as, you know, thinking about a situation where she's involved with a litigation on my against a stepmother of mine. I might think of the statement of my mother is being so selfish and inconsiderate. That might be my one sentence encapsulation of what's happening. My mom's being selfish and inconsiderate. The line that just captures all my sentiments in it, you know, my opinion, my judgment of the situation. So see if you can think of a line that just sort of sums up your sentiments on this situation.
David is incompetent and irresponsible.
Okay, good. So is anyone having trouble thinking of the line with that? Okay. So what I'd like you to do is now I want you to let that line repeat in your consciousness, like you're kind of ruminating over the situation. Just want you to just kind of sit there and just, you know, David is incompetent. Just let that keep going over and over again in a little loop in your head. It's like you're really sitting on the situation. And as you do that, I want you to notice what you feel. What kind of sensations come up in your body?
I feel turbulence.
Turbulence. Yeah.
Just builds up.
So, anybody else like to share how it feels to kind of let that run in a loop?
Constriction.
Poisonous. Okay.
Physically, my shoulders are getting kind of tight, and the constriction is more like I can feel it in my shoulders physically.
Yeah, constriction in the shoulders.
I actually feel a little grandiose, like she's this, and this.
Uh-huh.
Like, I got it all figured out.
You got more power in your body, yeah.
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 Defensive.
Some humor, actually. It's
humor?
Kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's hard to believe it.
It's hard to believe that.
Yeah.
It just worked out enough. You know,
yeah.
This is, yeah. Unrealness.
Yeah. So if you can see that, if you have some space around it, there can be humor around it. Yeah. So this is the way I think most of us, most of the time, where we've been trained to go first. I think when we have a situation that upsets us or pains us. Am I in agreement with others? Do other people have that experience that our minds sort of tend to go there, generally speaking? Yeah, okay. So, now I want to try something different. I'd like you to think of the same situation, but now I want you to think of what it is that you're wanting in the situation. And that's why I gave you these needs lists. Just see if you can find something on the needs list which is what you're wanting in the situation. And when you find the word that kind of captures what it is you're wanting in the situation, I want you to also think of how you imagine you'd feel if you got that. And so I want you to create a sentence in your mind that reflects that. So for example, for me, I might put that together as, and this is sort of using a variation on these kinds of words, but like, I love it when everyone in the family cares for each other. I think about this situation, my mom and my stepmother. I love it when everyone, my family cares for each other, when there's that kind of mutual care. That's the sentence I have. So whatever words are matching your situation, have that sentence and let it loop in your head for a minute while you just kind of breathe into that statement and feel what it feels like to be meditating on what it is you're wanting in the situation and how it feels when you have that. I'd love to hear whatever anyone's noticing about that.
it's relaxing and it feels great.
Feels more peaceful.
More peaceful.
Hopeful.
Sorry?
Hopeful.
Hopeful.
There's an inner body warmth which feels connected.
Mm. Connecting warmth, yeah.
Helps me find memories of when that state existed.
Mm. Helps you connect to what your how it's been meaningful for you in your life. Those memories, yeah.
Relief.
And it feels like it would move me from frozenness into taking positive action.
Yeah. It's like an action place. Yeah. Can you imagine now in your mind walking to that same situation with this energy? Being in touch with what you're wanting in this situation, how it feels. This is what I think of as the power of where we put our attention. In any one of these situations, there's that which is what we bring to the table, what we're bringing to the table when we're interacting with people. And one of the things we can actually control is where our attention is. By putting your attention on what you want, what you need, what you value, you're taking it off the power of everyone out here over your life and putting it squarely back in center. Notice nothing has changed in the situation you were thinking of. Nothing has changed. The person is still doing what they're doing in your mind, etc. But now you're in touch with might call the core of the situation. So this is another thing that's been very valuable for me in nonviolent communication is to understand and appreciate that no one makes us angry. Nothing out there has any power over your feelings. It's our needs that relate to our feelings. If you're wanting, well, for example, how do people feel when, say you've made an appointment with someone to meet, and your day is scheduled very tightly, and this is a crucial meeting to get done something on your project, and the person shows up half an hour late. How do people feel? Anyone?
Pissed off.
Sorry? Pissed off? Yeah. Pissed off, anything else?
Abused,
yeah. Say the person's disrespecting you, abused, yeah.
Feel stressed.
Stress. Yeah, so now imagine the same situation. Tightly scheduled day. Person shows up half an hour later. Same behavior, but you've had some emails you've been wanting to look at all day, and the person coming half an hour later gives you an opportunity to just focus on emails. How do you feel when the person shows up half an hour late as opposed to on time?
Grateful.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Same behavior, different feelings. And oftentimes we say things like, you're half an hour late, you know, that just pisses me off. You're half an hour late, you being half an hour late makes me angry, you know.
So yeah. Does that mean that it doesn't matter when the person would come? What is responsibility wire, or is there?
Let me ask you this. What is it, does it matter to you whether the person comes half an hour late or not? Does it at all?
It very well might. And I very well might want to talk to them and see if they could come closer to the time next time. Or something.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, I seem to be upset about it.
Yeah, and what need of yours? What need of yours are you upset about? What value? Say if you looked at that sheet, what value of yours is that you're wanting?
we have certain. That's what I'm wondering. You know, it seems like a lot of the time in our society, nobody seems. I wondered if this gets all mushy with there's no right or wrong or responsibility for anything.
Yeah, you want to trust. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you just want to make sure that there's room for responsibility and integrity. Yeah? And being able to have a voice to speak up for what you find important. Yeah.
Well, if you want cooperation and mutuality and support in some circumstance, some project that you're doing, and the person continually doesn't show up or shows up late, you still want and need those things. So maybe you would shift, hopefully with no hard feelings or whatever, to work with somebody else, I suppose.
Well, let's try it this way. Can one of you or anyone else here give me a situation and a concrete interaction that you can think of which captures the situation?
A patient shows up 30 minutes late for the appointment and still thinks they need to be seen, and there's someone else's fault.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I'm going to incorporate some nonviolent communication technology. All right. This is your patient. So, actually, you be the patient. All right, so what does the patient say? You just be the patient, okay? Just play that role.
Okay, I'm here for my appointment.
Yeah? So in a usual way, what might you say? You might normally say, you're half an hour late.
The person at the reception may say, well, you're half an hour late and you missed your appointment. You'll have to reschedule.
Yeah, you're half an hour late. You missed your appointment. You'll have to reschedule. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, it's not my fault. I mean, there was bridge traffic and I really need to be seen today.
I'm sorry. That's company policy.
I demand to be seen. I'm paying good money for this appointment and I need to be seen.
I'm sorry, sir. That's just the way it is. Would you like to reschedule?
Go get your manager.
Okay. So... it doesn't get much movement happening, right? Right. Let me give you another scenario. Okay, same patient. Start again.
Yeah, I'm here to see Dr. Lozano. I have an appointment.
Well, you're half an hour late. I don't know if we can squeeze you in.
Excuse me. Well, I mean, the parking is horrible in your building. I didn't park, and if you had better parking,
I'm really sorry. I don't know what to do. I just don't think we can do anything for you right now. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. Let me see what I can do. So that's another way, right? You kind of like let the just try to accommodate whatever the other person's doing, no matter what, even if it doesn't give you the kind of ease that you're wanting in a situation. So the other piece of technology is these ears. So just as an aside, the giraffe is the in nonviolent communication, they took it up as a sort of a symbol of listening with this kind of consciousness, because the giraffe is the land mammal with the largest heart. It also has the advantage of being able to see in high perspective. You know, sticks his neck out. So.
And they're vegetarians too.
And they're vegetarians. So, given the same situation, let's look at how I might be able to both express the needs that are touched in me that I'm wanting to acknowledge, and the needs in the patient. I'm just going to see how this works. So, start again.
Hi, I'm here for my appointment.
Okay, so I might do this internally first, because the first thing I might be thinking is, God damn it, this fucking guy shows up half an hour late every single time, you know, like, I'm so sick of it. I wish he'd just stop and respect my, you know. Okay, so I might do the same thing. I might first listen internally and do what we just did. What are the values that I really, you know, that are important to me in this situation? I love it when there's a sort of a mutuality. When I really feel that patients are in consideration of my needs and my time, that they have a respect for my schedule, that I work really hard and I need some ease in my schedule. And yeah, I just like it when there's that kind of acknowledgement. Something like that. Oh, and that, there's another thing in here. I realize that also I really value being able to really have the time to really connect with each patient. So I'm really offering my full services. That's another value of mine, actually. If I'm rushing around trying to squeeze patients in, then I actually don't feel like I can contribute to the patients as much as I'd like. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something I love. Okay, great. So now I'm in touch with what I value. I can meet this person. So, you're half an hour late. I'm feeling really torn right now, because I can imagine, given that you showed up, you'd really like to be seen. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I've got to be seen.
Yeah. I imagine you're really, partially because you're really concerned for your well-being. Because this may be the only time you think that you'll be able to see a doctor this week, and you're really worried about your health. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So notice I'm kind of checking in with what I think the values are underneath what he's asking for. He's asking to be seen right now, and if I argue with him on that level, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, it's just going to be push-pull. But if I can connect to what he's wanting, then maybe something can be worked out, because there's more space around it. So the reason I'm feeling torn is I'm hearing how much you really are concerned about your well-being. And at the same time, given that you're 30 minutes later than the time that was agreed on, I'm feeling kind of stuck, because I really like to spend the time with my patients that enables sort of me to really contribute fully to well-being. Sometimes when I'm trying to cram patients in here and there, I find myself running around and not being able to actually meet the patient in a way that really helps. You know, I'm so busy running around and thinking about what I got to do next, then it's like I believe it's the personal connection that's going to do the most for everyone's health. And so I'm feeling stuck about that, and I'm just wondering how you feel hearing me tell you that.
Well, you're late sometimes.
Sounds like a true doctor.
So I got to be giving myself some self-empathy again, because you know, I'll be like, God, he's right. So, let's see. Yeah. So I'm guessing that that for you there's something about this which is like about respect, that you'd really like some respect for your time. And given that I've been late other times, that you don't want to be taking any of this as, you know, well, since you're half an hour late, you got to go. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I want you to know I'm really disheartened about all these other times that I've been later than the agreed upon time, because I really value and respect your time as well as mine. So I'm very sorry to hear that you've had that experience. I'd like you to hear me again, though, around this particular moment. With you being half an hour late, I feel really stuck with all these. I have a lot of patients to see, and I really want to give each one the care and attention that I think everyone deserves. And I'm wondering if, given that, you'd be willing to explore with me another strategy for taking care of you. I kind of feel if I squeeze you in right now, I wouldn't be giving you as much attention as I'd like, and the next patient too. And I kind of feel like if I saw you maybe later this week, that I could actually give you more care and attention. I'm wondering how you feel about that.
Well, I don't know. I've got to get back to work. I've been the rest of the week. You know, I'm really sick with this cold, or this pneumonia, no, the sinus infection. Yeah. It's going to, you know, turn into pneumonia.
And if you'd spend as much time just checking me out rather than talking to me about it, you'd have given me a prescription.
Yeah. So there's some worry about how long a process like this might take. Like how long you have to
go back. Well, it's not worry, it's impossible. It's just not feasible. The practicalities of life, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate this question, because I've often had that thought too. It's like, well, you know, does this mean that every interaction I take will have to process over and over again, or take 2 hours to, you know. So I want to point out something that I found really valuable pointed out to me, which is that in our society, there's a lot of hidden costs that we don't think about. Mm-hmm. Global warming is a great example, because, you know, people think, oh, we have this wonderful advanced technology culture. We can drive. We can get things done quickly. We can fly things here and there. We can bus things here and there. And all the while, there's this hidden cost, which is now coming to the light, and people are really challenged, trying to figure out what to do about it. You know, what we're in a dire situation, it seems. And I think it's a great analogy for our human interactions, because we think, well, sometimes you just don't have time. We just have to get things done, and yada yada yada. And my way of looking at it is, there's a hidden cost. Every time you take that choice, my feeling, my experience has shown that it comes back to get you. You know, if you have that kind of rapport with your patients, that increases the frustration they have with your office and your system. That increases the more likelihood that they're going to try to, like, get you in other ways. You know, increases the resentment. Whereas if you take the time, maybe you have one meaningful interaction with this patient, and it takes a bit of time, my bet is in the future they'll be a lot more respectful of your office and be more interested themselves in coming on time. Not because they feel like they should or they have to, because the office is going to find them or not see them, but they actually feel like, no, this doctor really cares about me, and I care about him. I'm going to make the effort to come on time because I know how he feels about it.
There is a possibility that the guy gave a whole hour to get to your office and got stuck on the Bay Bridge, and that's kind of out of his control, and you have other people you need to see. I mean, occasionally, for all the goodness in the world from both ends, there's a problem like this.
Yes. Yeah.
So what happens then?
The point I'm trying to make is putting the emphasis on the connection between you and the other person, no matter what the situation. It's like, we all live pretty short lives on this planet. And, you know, are you going to spend your life arguing with people about what they should have done, or whether they're right or wrong for having, or whether I'm wrong or he's right, or I'm right and he's wrong? Are you going to spend your life doing that, or are you going to take the time to connect with the humanness behind each person?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's less about what the outcome is necessarily, and more about the intentions. I'm sort of putting it in my mind next to meta. and thinking, well, if I send meta out, I'm going to get meta back. And if I put the intentions of being connected with somebody out, I'm going to get that back instead of continuing to sort of propagate that, you know, social construct of disconnect and discord.
And I guess you put the website on here, so...
Yeah, I was gonna add, so on the back of the sheets, most of them, I think a couple came out with the Xerox not happening, but on the back of most of the sheets, the there's some resources for learning more about this if you're interested. I saw that actually out here that there is a brochure. It seems like in April, late April, there's a someone who's going to be offering Nonviolent Communication Weekend here. My own work is called Zen VC. That's on the back of those sheets. And for those of you who don't have one, ZenVC, ZenVC.org is my website. You can always look there if you're interested. I brought some flyers for anyone who's interested about a workshop I'm offering at the Zen Center on March 3rd. It's a Saturday afternoon. I'll just have up here beside me if it's something you'd be interested in.
Great. Any other announcements before we close? By the power and truth of this practice, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all be free from sorrow and the causes of sorrow. May all never be separated from the sacred happiness which is without sorrow. And may all live in equanimity without too much attachment or too much aversion, and live believing in the equality of all that lives.